Hello and welcome to Databook. I am Jack Murtha.
And I am Tom Castles.
And we want to let you know that this is no longer a healthcare analytics news podcast, but today we have launched our new brand, Inside Digital Health. Check us out online at idigitalhealth.com.
We welcome all you folks along for the journey. We know it's been a fun one so far. It's only going to heat up from here. So follow us on social. And of course, if you like Databook, we're still coming at you with the same hard-hitting insights every 2 weeks.
Now, let's move in right into the story because it is post-HIMSS 19 and we know you are salivating for some insights.
That's right. So HIMSS is behind us, but its lessons are evergreen. So I want to talk to you, my dear listeners, about the key takeaway from this meeting of the Digital Health Minds. So as day one of HIMSS descended upon Orlando, it was like a high-tech healthcare hurricane. I strutted through the front doors of the Orange County Convention Center, starry-eyed and absolutely fired up. And, you know, getting your 10,000 steps in before 10 a.m. will do that sort of thing to you.
Yeah, and it will make you shed a few pounds if you don't eat too much sushi at night.
Yeah, and maybe even get shin splints, which is kind of embarrassing. So we're looking on and all as all these bright minds after bright minds, they ascend from the darkness and anonymity of a large crowd and onto these singular, moodily lit stages with the sole purpose of unveiling their life's greatest triumphs and tragedies in front of hundreds of their peers. Truly, it is a beautiful thing.
So what was your first stop at HIMSS?
So my first stop of many, it was on Monday morning, February 11th, at the Machine Learning and AI for Healthcare Summit. This was an all-day pre-conference symposium. I was really eager to attend it with the hopes of learning just how far AI use cases in healthcare had progressed since last year.
And what did you learn?
So I picked up a lot of really great stuff. First and foremost, one of the most exciting things is that algorithms are no longer the stuff of legend. As I'm speaking to you right now, they are successfully bringing actionable insights and data to doctors at the point of care. That's saving us time, money, and improving patient outcomes. And I'll say it again, truly, it is a beautiful thing. Now, by lunchtime, my head was so full of new ideas and these fresh use cases, it felt like it was about to burst. But after hitting the buffet line and returning to my seat, beyond ready to devour my rosemary chicken breast, russet potatoes, and beefsteak tomatoes, absolutely sure that my brain had reached maximum capacity for the day, I learned the best lesson of them all.
And it must be about free lunch.
Oh, God. There's not enough of that these days, folks. Now, fate would have it that at that very moment, an interesting fella sat down just to my left. And if you listen carefully to our pre-HIMSS podcast from 2 weeks ago, you'll remember that our very good friend Janae Sharp offered up some grade A HIMSS advice. One of my favorite bits being, leave time for serendipitous meetings. Now I'm talking about that chance encounter in the hallway, that elbow rub on the conference floor, or that interesting fellow who sits down just to your left.
You never know who it could be. Former astronaut, head of Google.
It's the truth. At HIMSS, it could be anybody. Now, before long, I came to find out that this interesting fellow's name was Jeff Fried. Jeff is the Director of Product Management and Data Platforms at InterSystems. And by the way, as a quick aside, he's one of like a dozen people I ended up meeting from InterSystems who was an absolute pleasure to speak with.
And we should note that we did some work for InterSystems and you should check that out at our website.
Of course.
Okay, so we got the background of this guy, Jeff Fried from InterSystems, and it's star-studded. He's right up there with all of the tech heavyweights. What's the big idea?
Well, later on during HIMSS, I came to find out that Jeff would be doing some speaking of his own. So we're sitting in a session, we're watching really great minds, we're having lunch, and I find out that he's going to be doing some speaking too later that week. So let's jump forward in time to that moment. It's Valentine's Day, 2019. I sent my wife some flowers. Jack, I don't know about you.
Yeah, I sure did, and she loved them.
Okay, good. We're good husbands.
We did well.
So I'm sitting in this session. We have Jeff Fried up on the stage, and he's alongside Raz Atanasiou, who is the CTO of healthcare at Highland, and Dr. Anil Jain, who happens to be the Vice President and Chief Health Information Officer of IBM Watson Health.
Not a bad panel, huh?
Yeah, so right out of the gate, we got three really powerful brands up there on the stage, and the moderator comes out swinging with this question.
Where is healthcare at in the AI landscape?
And here's what Fried has to say. We're at a place where it's undeniable that AI in healthcare is real, and it's useful, but it's still mysterious to a lot of people. Many aren't convinced that it can help them. In a conversation with some folks at the InterSystems booth, somebody told Free that AI occupies this space in their mind, somewhere between creepy and spooky. And that's probably true for a lot of people. Fried says he gets that. If we take a step back, though, we can see that this stuff is actually pretty simple. Back before the turn of the century, when he first started wrangling the data, managing machine learning systems was a really painful process. It took forever. But since then, the computing power and the quality of the data in healthcare has drastically improved. This stuff is now available right there in physicians' EMRs, and when done right, it's hardly even noticeable, even though it's actively making physician workflows easier. Now, despite the fact that Fried has been involved with this stuff for decades, he's intensely passionate about it, and he's actively working every day to build better, more practical AI systems in healthcare, he still carries a measured tone on the topic.
Yeah, you definitely do not get as far as Fried by being a blind optimist.
Now, he said that we've made it through AI's winter, but summer is still a long way away.
And it sure is a very exciting time. Look, there are a lot of really interesting and really real applications of AI out there in healthcare. But Fried said that we're still in this muddy springtime with respect to the journey that we're taking as we search for better ways to get value out of the algorithms. For Fried, the job is never over.
Now, let's rewind back to the moment I met Fried at lunch 4 days before this talk. Suffice it to say that I was dining with a very smart man, and being inquisitive as I am, I naturally just leaned forward, and here's what I said. So, Jeff, I hope you're enjoying your crostini, but I have a very important question for you. You know a thing or two about AI. You've been dabbling with data since you were just a wee one. You've held some pretty weighty positions, and you're speaking alongside leaders from some of the most advanced AI platforms on Earth. I have to ask you, what are you doing here? Why are you attending a session on a topic you know so much about? Shouldn't you be manning the InterSystems booth or building the next big breakthrough or something? Jeff looked back at me, and he smiled. There's always something more to learn, he said. And listen, I know this is the third time I'm going to be saying this on a single podcast, but truly, it is a beautiful thing to hear such a qualified expert with decades of experience express with great humility his desire to improve.
That's probably something we could all do a little bit more.
Yeah. Go take a hard look in the mirror after this one. So even among the best of us, we really need to remember that the job is never quite done, and it's especially true in healthcare. There will always be new ways to improve, always be new ways to succeed, and always be new efficiencies to harness. And even when all of that's done, there are going to be naysayers who need convincing. So until all of that is done, Fried will be one busy guy. And as a matter of fact, we all will. Jack, now I want to take the opportunity to zoom out a little bit on our larger experience. How does that sound?
Love it. Let's go.
So as I was sitting in the airport waiting to catch my flight down to Orlando, I scrolled past one of my favorite Instagram pages.
Was it Daquan?
No, Daquan is overrated, but that's just one man's opinion. This page was called Daily Stoic. It's a page about images and quotes around stoicism, a practice I've been becoming more and more interested in of late.
And you sure are growing up. It sounds like it's some good stuff, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I recommend you check it out. But in the airport, I saw this quote, and it's by the Greek philosopher Epictetus. You mind if I read it to you?
Yeah, hit me. Let's do it.
This guy, Epictetus, thousands of years ago, he uttered these words. If you wish to improve, be content to be thought foolish and stupid.
So that is no doubt pretty powerful. But you know what? It really does speak to me. And I think that all of us get to see that in action in healthcare and especially health tech every day.
I think we really do. And in healthcare, we cannot ever stop trying to improve. So naturally, we often end up looking foolish and stupid.
But the truly foolish and stupid move would be to stop trying. to stop learning and to stop improving.
It would. And no matter what, people will have something to say about our latest innovations. Hope springs eternal in healthcare, but so does skepticism.
And both are warranted and I'd even say necessary.
Now, Jack, I want to look back into the crystal ball of our interesting past together.
That sounds very dangerous, but hey, what the heck? Let's have some fun.
Well, this one's relatively benign. Let's walk through one moment. You saw a quote-unquote improvement or innovation that you thought was foolish at HIMSS, and maybe another that you thought was meaningful. So what did you see on the floor?
Okay, so at HIMSS, there were quite a few of these booths that had this generic-looking robot walking around.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, because you saw this robot with me.
Yes.
And possibly the most disappointing demo of all time.
Yes.
Where the demo person was sweating and it was awful.
Yeah.
So look, it's not that robotics in general is bad. Actually, one of my favorite panels of all of him is focused on robotics.
Right, I remember that one.
It just kind of seemed like this robot was a little bit mass-produced, and a bunch of companies were using it for a bunch of different things, and it just seemed gimmicky, almost like an Alexa, you know, an Amazon smart speaker, but with a little more empathy. And I do think that in health IT, it's difficult sometimes to visually attract people because we're looking at screens, right? So a little robot does a pretty good job of doing that.
I'm not sold on the fact that this is actually going to have useful healthcare applications just yet. It might soon, but like you, I kind of get the feeling that it's just an Alexa kind of wrapped up in this cool looking robot body that's waving its arms and misinterpreting my words.
Yes, pretty much. But also, I want to give a shout out to some of our sponsors at HIMSS. And these are not just, hey, these are our sponsors, let's talk them up. Really, they're doing super interesting things. One is InterSystems and how they're really trying to power interoperability and making data available to make the right decisions. InterSystems booth was popping this year.
For sure.
They had a whole bunch of good presentations going on. And these weren't kind of the typical HIMSSian presentations where we're just kind of talking about InterSystems solutions. They were really good. We're talking about everything from fire to pediatric robotics and so on. Also, Holon Solutions showed the power of its data solutions over and over again, bringing information to the point of care that can really help guide decision making. These are the types of things that, you know, over and over again, you see at HIMSS that maybe they don't have the talking robot there, but they have the actual real stuff going on. So the idea is that these companies are building solutions that fit into workflows and also actually solve problems that need to be solved. I'm talking about companies like Lightning Bolt Solutions we met with. They're tackling physician burnout. Carium, I'm writing a story about them, and they are trying to bring various data points together. We're also talking about Collective Medical. Definitely one of the more exciting companies in the space. I mean, a $47 million Series A, come on.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah. And they're doing a lot of interesting things in the emergency department.
Right.
So really it goes on and on, right?
Yeah. And the great thing about all these companies too is that they are supported by their employees. We're meeting these people, shaking their hands. They're incredible people. And they're all driven by the same sort of unified goal. They want to make healthcare a better place. And you could feel it when you speak to them. I think that motivation really makes it so much more easy to focus on the problems and building solutions for them rather than focusing on the tech and how that can be implemented into a solution.
Even in 2019 at HIMSS, there are a hell of a lot of companies that are just saying, we make healthcare smarter, better, whatever, but we don't really understand their differentiator or in some cases, even what they're trying to do.
Right. The how is a big question. The why is a big question too. And I think the best companies kind of put those together and can speak about them very concisely.
We saw a lot of interesting work, really, around fighting physician burnout, I gotta say, too.
Right.
Like, that was something that really emerged as a huge issue this HIMSS. I mean, we know we've had organizations like Mayo Clinic, Stanford with WellMD. They've been trying to tackle this. It seems like it's going to take more. Mm-hmm. It seems like there are still innovations to go. And I know that toward the end of the conference, actually while they were breaking down the booths, we got to sit down with Janae Sharp and a few other folks, including the good people at Click, Kat McDavid of Collective Medical. Mm-hmm. We had Dr. Meg Hanna in there, all kind of just talking about, hey, Janae, what can we do to help fight this physician burnout problem, to measure it, really to start with the measurement, right, and then maybe get to some interventions. But Tom, you know why I'm bringing up Janae Sharp.
I do indeed.
She's here. She's not here in the studio. But we spoke with her yesterday, actually. We were doing the last minute hymns rush this podcast out.
Busier than ever.
And we know that all of our ideas definitely pale in comparison to those of Janae's. She will laugh at that line, I'm sure. But we brought her back. She was on our pre-hymns podcast. Now Janae is going to talk about her key takeaways. So I had this conversation with her yesterday. Please dig in. Janae, thank you so much for joining us once again on Databook.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
First question, what were your biggest takeaways from hymns? Just give me the things that you saw that stood out the most to you.
I saw a few things that I really thought stood out. And one of them was the very personal level was that women in health IT are doing a lot to advance women in health IT. I was on a panel where we talked about how many women attend HIMSS and how many women are in leadership position at HIMSS, and not just in the HIMSS organization, but at the conference. And, you know, it's less than half. It looks like there were about 30% female attendees. And that being said, while at HIMSS, I saw a lot of women made time for me or made time for helping promote equality. And I think that's good progress, just that the atmosphere is so much different. And one of the other big things that I saw was having not just giant data, which people love to talk about, you know, like a show-off contest, a measurement contest over there, like how much data you have. But now it's like, that's not enough. You also have to be able to use it and make it good for someone's workflow. And to me, that's real progress, that the conversations are advancing that we need. Because in the end, we're still dealing with the same issues that health IT has dealt with the entire time, like getting patient data at the point of care, getting people their data.
What was your biggest disappointment at HIMSS?
I feel like that's a tricky question, because I came to HIMSS with a baby that had just turned 3 months old, and he doesn't take a bottle. So like on a personal level, like it was hard that babies can't come on the floor. And I was really happy that they had like a nursing room, but every time we went in there, there were like 8 people. And so that's like a plus and a minus, you know. It's really good that there's so much progress for women in the workforce, but it was also a lot harder than I thought it would be. And some of the other big disappointments were that it's so big sometimes. And I talked to a few people and asked them for feedback. Sometimes it would be nice to have like a more guided experience. It felt like a lot of the people that I talked to thought it was pretty chaotic. And that happens when you have a conference this size. When we talk about trends and overall feelings, did we feel like we got a really good snapshot of what the conference was, or was it kind of limited? And it would be so nice if they had like a planning tool besides just like the guided conferences, you know? Like better organization for your goals.
So obviously you're doing work for some clients. So were we. Sometimes our clients intersected. Great stuff. But beyond that, beyond our client base, what were some new companies that you met or new programs that really stuck out to you?
Oh, yeah. You know who I sat down with that I probably should have known already? I sat down with Bridget Duffy, who's the chief medical officer of Vocera. I believe she is. And we talked about her experience as the chief experience officer, the original one at the Cleveland Clinic. And I really liked talking to them about messaging triage at the point of care. I liked what they were doing. I like some of the value-based care tools that Health Catalyst has designed, which those are new. I sat down with Collective Medical, which is a Utah company, and I'm local to Utah for the first time. Like, I've spoken to them, you know, in passing at different events, but it was really nice to be able to sit with them and talk more. And those are three three groups that maybe a lot of people have heard of, but I got to know them a little bit better and I valued that. I'm kind of biased, but I really liked looking more at the whole-on solutions tools where you can see all those data insights that people have put together at the point of care without an additional login. That's nice. Yeah, and one of the things that I really enjoyed doing it while I was at HIMSS was to meet with the Lightning Bolt team. I'm on their advisory board and they just got acquired. So I went by their booth and they always give you tea, which I really like. So I went and got tea and then talked kind of about their new initiative to gather data on burnout from physicians. And my nonprofit deals with burnout. And it's nice also to be working with other people who care about that in the space and see what they're doing for research and collaborate with them. So it was good to be able to see them in person and catch up with people that I knew.
What would you say is something that was really pervasive at this year's HIMSS that you think will either flop or really succeed in the year ahead?
Yeah, I mean, there are a few things that I think were really interesting trends from him this year. One of them was the new CMS mandates about data blocking, and it'll be interesting to see what those turn out to be. I predicted the trend of physician burnout becoming important, and people talked about it a lot, so I was really encouraged by that, talking about what that meant and what that was going to look like this year. I'm really encouraged about the progress that has been made towards women in health IT and workflow. Like, people talk about workflow now, or, you know, human-centered design, and they mean it. They want physicians' tools to make their life easier. They want the technology to be useful. So it's more like technology for progress rather than technology for the sake of technology. And I really liked that. I liked the atmosphere of connectedness. Even with the new logo, there was new connectedness. And this year is really neat for me because I've been able to do a lot of things with increasing awareness and working with data science with physician burnout and with mental health. And since that's such a personal issue for me, it means a lot. Also, the day I got back from HIMSS, my baby started rolling over both ways. And I think of it this way. The first day he rolled over, he like rolls to his stomach and he starts crying. And that's what babies do. They like are so excited that they could roll over and then they realize they rolled over and it's a disaster and they start screaming. And you have to come rescue them. And then the next day he was able to roll over to his back, but he still hasn't quite figured out all the way. So I kind of feel like health IT is in the same position that he's in right now. And he might even be better tomorrow, where he can actually roll back to his back when he wants. Like, we're kind of understanding data moving back and forth. And I feel like with a lot of these things like blockchain, data, big data, the cloud, all this stuff, it's like people were starting to roll onto their stomachs, but then they just like started fussing. And, you know, the physicians are like, this is really uncomfortable and it doesn't even help us. And we're starting to see that swing back the other way, where pretty soon, I'm hoping, I mean, I'm a huge optimist here in saying that I think pretty soon it'll be able to go back and forth and data will start being useful to us at surfacing insights and being useful within the context of delivering better healthcare.
All right, Janae, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So HIMSS is over and our podcast is nearing its end, but we hope that you take some really useful insights from both.
Remember, we are no longer Healthcare Analytics News. We are now Inside Digital Health. So on Twitter, that's @i_digitalhealth. And on Facebook and LinkedIn, it's Inside Digital Health. And our website is idigitalhealth.com.
That's right. Now, we're getting a little bit of a facelift, but you can still depend on us for those actionable insights, the inside look into what's going on in digital health, and our classic grade A characteristic hype busting.
Yes. I'm Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Cassels.
And this is Databook.